This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Retirement. It's that thing we all know we should think about. When you start your working life, it can feel so far away, or maybe unattainable, like you'll never be able to save enough. Retirement can be scary, a reminder of mortality even. But it's part of the American dream, living comfortably after you leave the workforce, doing the things you've always wanted to do. Today, we're balancing practical and personal with a guide to retirement, and we asked a few people to daydream a bit.
Oh, my dream retirement would probably be a house in Texas, an apartment in Manhattan, a house in Malibu, and to be somehow helping the world.
Teaching somewhere part-time, maybe living close to a beach.
My dream retirement would involve a lot of tennis playing and novel writing, if I can come up with my stories.
I would like to retire in Costa Rica at a place called Estancia, because I studied there one summer, and a lot of Americans actually end up retiring there, and it's fairly cheap.
My dream retirement would be the ability to travel multiple times in a given year, provide for my children, help them set up with their first homes.
Hopefully, I'll be able to get a place down in Florida and move to an over 55 community and just kind of relax. Right now, I do have a 401k, not a whole lot in it. I waited till about 3 or 4 years ago when I realized I wasn't going to live forever, and I didn't want to work till I was 90. So I've started putting money away, and hope it'll be enough when I get there, because I don't know how much Social Security is going to be.
Oceans, travel, a second career, plus 401ks and Social Security? There's nothing quite like retirement planning for a unique blend of math and magical thinking. We imagine everything will work out fine, that the money we invest will grow, and we'll be there when we need it. For the next hour, we'll take a realistic look at investment choices, what works for different ages and lifestyles, whether you should pay off a mortgage before you retire, how to play catch-up if you haven't socked away money since you were 22. Yeah, that includes a lot of us. But first, this. Who we are affects how we decide to use our retirement dollars. That's what Suzanne Hsu studies. She's an assistant professor at UCLA's Anderson School of Management. Suzanne, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
You have studied how retirees basically make financial choices. Tell me what you've learned. What do we choose?
Financial choices for retirees are incredibly complex. And so we look at some of the elements of that complexity. What we study and what we've learned is that some of the psychological biases that influence a lot of other decisions that people make, especially self-control type decisions like take dieting or saving for retirement, things where you really have to work hard and think about those long-term implications, some of those same biases pop up in the retirement decisions that people are making, including things like when to claim their Social Security benefits.
I want to ask you about Social Security because this is such a fascinating thing. Americans are eligible to start collecting Social Security at 62. Is that a good idea? What should they do?
Claiming at 62 is officially defined as early claiming. Financial implications of doing that really work out in a way that you are economically better off by waiting. And remember that those trade-offs are calculated based on the average American's mortality. If you can beat the average lifespan of an American, if you're someone who's in good shape and you eat well, then you definitely come out ahead by waiting. So generally, for the average person, waiting until at least 65 or 66 and maybe even till 70, if you look at the economic models, a lot of the advice is to spend down whatever retirement savings you have. And of course, not everybody has a lot of retirement savings, but if you have it, it makes financial sense to spend some of that down before you take the Social Security.
Explain that to me. How much more money do you get if you do it at 70 versus 62?
So if you claim at 62, there's really a pretty significant penalty. I think it's about 25% of the full retirement age. And then there's a benefit built in if you can wait past the full retirement age until 70.
But there's a psychological component to this, which is, I don't know if I'm going to live that long. I don't know what's going to happen to me in the future. Why not take the money now?
with Social Security claiming, when the opportunity comes up at 62 to start claiming, there's a lot of psychological factors that start coming in. You start thinking, well, I've worked my entire life contributing into the system. I deserve these benefits. It's like I own these benefits. They're mine and I want them now. There's also a concern of what we'd call loss aversion, this fear that I'm going to die earlier than I think, I'm going to die earlier than the average, and if I haven't claimed, I've lost out somehow, and so I better claim now while I have the chance. Those psychological biases we find are some of the strongest predictors at the individual level of individuals who want to claim early versus waiting until full retirement age or even claiming late.
I'm 37. When I look into the future, I kind of think, I don't know if Social Security is going to be there for me. I don't know if that has any relevance to my life. What do you think is going to be out there?
It's a question of the payments coming in from younger workers being able to cover the outflow for older workers. I think a lot of people walk around almost thinking of it as their own personal defined contribution plan, kind of like a 401k. I put money in from my paycheck every month. It goes into some bucket somewhere. And at the end, that's the money I'm going to get out.
I'm going to get it. Yeah.
When they talk about concerns about what's going to happen to Social Security, the estimates I've seen say that under the worst case, then young workers might be putting in about 75% of what's needed to cover the older workers. And really, I think what that means from a policy and political standpoint is that the government at that point will find other sources to make up that 25-cent difference for every dollar paid out. You know, this is one of the most popular programs in the country. I seriously doubt that any politician wants to go down the path of being the one who stopped paying Social Security.
Suzanne Hsu is an assistant professor at the UCLA Anderson School of Management. Thank you.
Thank you.